Want to grow your business fast? Want to know what is the easiest, the fastest, and the most efficient way of growing a business and growing your result? Well, stick around, because in this episode of the Automated Millionaire video / podcast, that is the topic that we'll be talking about. Hi, I'm Mikael Pitzner, and I help small and medium-sized businesses, and I help the business owners and the teams make a better business. What is better business? Well, it is making more money, and ideally doing such with speed, and also doing it easier and more fluidly and more efficiently, so that it actually can afford you the lifestyle that you wanted when you started out as an entrepreneur. And actually, maybe even if this is on your plate or on your wish list, that you can actually remove yourself from the equation of daily operation and become much more that of a true business owner. What is a true business owner? Well, a true business owner is one who owns a business, but is not necessarily the necessary part of getting the right results, that you are not necessarily the part that has to be in the business for the daily operations. In this episode here, we'll be talking about growing your business. And this marks the first episode in our new series where we'll be looking about the topic area about pricing and how we are setting those and how it influences our business. It kind of aligns itself very much with a previous series of episodes that we did, our second series, which was about the mistakes business owners make. And the reason being is that I have realized with all the businesses that I've met and have helped and so on, most of them, they make a lot of mistakes in this topic area of setting pricing and negotiating and discounting and so on. So the next couple of episodes, or next more than a couple of episodes, will be all about those areas within the topic area of pricing and discounting. I think you'll find it extremely valuable. I think you'll find it such that you better come back for every single one, because all of these things are things that you can go and check for your business and maybe make implementation that honestly has an effect overnight. So let's talk about this episode here, the first one. We are talking about what is the fastest way to grow your business. As business owners, we typically always want to grow the business. Why wouldn't we? I mean, we have ambition, and you know, why wouldn't we want to grow and make more jobs available and make more money and be able to do more and have more and be more? So it is naturally we want to grow. I think also most entrepreneurs, they have that urge inside of them, that they have this, shall we say, this characteristic in them that, you know, if we're not growing, we're basically dying. If we're not growing, it's not just stagnating. If we're stagnating, we're deteriorating. We're kind of dying. We're wasting time, and we're wasting our potential. So we have the urge to grow. So let's look at how do we grow a business? Well, there's several ways, right? We can go and sell more. So that is, you know, well, maybe we'll, you know, do more ads. So we do a lot more marketing in order to get more leads and get more sales in, get more traffic and more connections and more the word out there about our products or services and so on. So that's one way. The downside of growing it that way is like it's probably one of the most difficult, right? It requires, well, if we're talking about marketing, now you've got to figure out how to market it, how to market it well, how to get a good investment return on your investment into the marketing. And you've got to know how to do it, and you've got to set it up, and you know, either you're going to learn Facebook or LinkedIn or Google Ads or some other thing, or you're going to hire somebody. So it's a little bit filled with challenges there. The other part is that at the end of the day, you have the leads coming in, or you have now that they know your product and so on, but either it's buying straight away, or do you need to have a good sales team? And have a good sales team, while you may need a good script, or you may need, you know, to have a good training for the sales team, and or maybe you're the salesperson. I mean, a lot of business owners, the CEO, the business owner, well, is actually the biggest advocate for the business and the products or the services offered in that business, and is oftentimes the best ambassador for the business. But your capacity is maybe stretched thin between running the business, running the employees, and overseeing everything and the finances and keeping all of it afloat and working, that maybe you can't do all the sales yourself, or maybe you shouldn't. In fact, that's a topic for a whole other discussion. But you probably shouldn't. I'd like you to be probably the best advocate for the business, because I doubt anybody's going to have that same the same burning fire for the business of love. And it's probably your baby. For the most cases of all the business owners I've helped, and I've helped a lot, it's their baby, right? They have such sentiment for it. And so what I'm trying to do is just, I want to make sure that that baby grows. I want to make sure that baby gets really healthy. And I want to make sure that this baby becomes everything that you wanted, so that you can have everything you wanted. Not just the money and the lifestyle and so on, but for everything that you really were seeking, whether it's like the sense of freedom, that's an important one for me for sure. Or if it's that sense of, you know what, I can do something extraordinary for, not just for me, but for my family, for my spouse and my children, maybe for their families, you know, my spouse's family and so on. And, you know, I think, again, for me, that's an important one. And maybe it is for you too. Maybe sometimes you have a cause. Maybe you want to, you know, clean up the pollutants in the world. And, you know, guess what? With more money, we can do more. We can fund more projects, or we can raise interest for it in an easier way than it is just to kind of like try to go viral with the story of whatever cause you have. So sometimes we are driven by something like that. So we want to get that growth. So we can sell more. Now we can also hope to sell more items, so more service hours or more products to one and same customer. So now we are adding, you know, basically the average sale or the amount of total sale for a client. We could talk about the lifelong value of a client and how that influences your sales overall. So that's another way of doing. We can look for the tactics of how can I jumpstart my sales, you know, how can I jumpstart my growth. And that may be like you're thinking, well, okay, here's what I'm selling. And you might be beginning to think about, well, who buys what I'm selling at a volume? Could I maybe go and knock on some doors and maybe acquire connections and contracts and sales to interest groups or people or businesses or whatever it may be who are buying whatever I'm selling at volume? Like when I grew the limousine service business, a large part of my big growth that I had in my first year, if you don't know the story, I grew it my first year of ownership about 3.5 times the previous owner's sales. I grew that by 3.5 times in just 1 year, my first year of its ownership. And a large part of it came from the fact that I said to myself, well, I know that it was a corporate limousine service business. And a lot of the clients were also the cruise line. So not necessarily the cruise lines themselves, but the people who are attending cruise lines, the guests for the cruise lines. And so a lot of these guests, they were handled by incoming bureaus. Then I guess they sold packages to bureaus. And in this case, actually, a lot of American tourists would be coming over. So I suspect they sold it to travel agencies and so on all over the United States and so on, or to conglomerate that took care of that market. And so I was thinking, well, we do have some clients within that industry. We do have some business in there, but I suspect that we could get a lot more because that market is kind of big in Denmark. You know, we are Copenhagen is a very large port for cruise destinations, either as a starting port or as a finishing port, or maybe just a port in between. But it's a lot of guests coming through the city of Copenhagen. It's a beautiful place, so I don't blame them. And it fits that you go and visit Denmark, Sweden, Norway, or maybe you take over into St. Petersburg and so on. So there's some beautiful routes there. And so the cruise lines are very popular there and so on. And I said, well, I want to grow my business. I know that this agency are handling a lot of incoming bureaus or a lot of incoming traffic that goes to these cruise ships. So I went and smoothed and wined and dined these agencies, and I gained a lot of business from them. And that grew my bulk and my volume of business dramatically within the first year. And all that was different was just that, well, nobody had done it before. So, you know, it just by merely trying and merely, you know, keeping really keen on it, they saw that, hey, I'm serious and I have a good product, I have a good service, and we already had good reputation and so on, so that we would get a lot of their business. We can also look for collaborators, so maybe there's partnerships we can do and so on. And so, but that's all about, you know, how do we grow sales? We will probably talk about that in greater detail. But again, anything that is about growing sales is, you know, it's not the most efficient. It's not the one that's most effective either. And it's not the easiest. So let's just cut to the chase. Let's talk about what is the easiest? Well, you may or may not be surprised, but the easiest is quite simply, if you do have an existing business, so you do actually have traffic that comes through your business and buys your products or your services, if you do have a recurring revenue every year and so on, and so you have sales, the best way of actually getting more sales or more dollars right away, so again, it's the most efficient, it's the most effectful, and it is the easiest way, is actually changing your prices. So just changing your prices, in this case, we're talking about increasing your prices, and instantly you have more dollars of sales for the same volume. You are selling at a higher dollar rate. You get more revenues in, more sales in. And it's most effective also because by just raising your price, you didn't change any parameters other than that. So in other words, it doesn't cost you more to deliver whatever it is you're delivering, and now at a higher rate. It doesn't cost you any bit more to charge more. All you need to do is maybe change some rates, maybe change some price lists and so on, and maybe, you know, letting the customers and clients know about, hey, these are new rates and so on. That's really all you need to do. So it is the fastest. It basically just takes a decision, implement it, and it's done. It's the most effective because, like I said, if you're growing the business, well, for every dollar sold, we probably have more materials, if it's a product, or we have more labor involved, if it's a service, or we might have both. So for most other ways of growing, you will see increases also in your cost of goods sold, right? When you're growing even further, then eventually you might have to have more people in administration, maybe you outgrow your facilities or something, and then soon enough, yes, now you have a bump in your overheads also, and so now you have a change in your cost of goods sold and in your overheads, right? So now all of those expenses, of course, make it less effective to grow rather than just a price change. Wait a minute, Mikael. Wait a minute. I hear you saying, Mikael, I can't change my rates. I'm going to be killed. My competition is so fierce and so on. Now, we will talk tomorrow. We're going to talk about how to overcome those so you can make a price change, so you can get a premium. Are there certain industries that can't do it? Yes, there are, but then there are other ways that they can actually still get a price increase or still get more money in, which at the end of the day gives you more sales, meaning the growth, and also more net bottom, right? So let me just reiterate, by increasing your price, all other things being equal, you're making more sales, so you grew the business, at least on the number side. You have no additional cost really involved in doing so. So pretty much your entire increase of price trickles way down in all your accounting system and lands in your net bottom line. So let's look at an example here. Let's just talk about it and think about it easily, easy numbers. So if you have, let's say you're a big company, you have $100 million of sale. And let's say that your net profits currently is about 5%. So you have sales, yearly sales of 100 million. You have a net result profits of 5% of that. So you are making $5 million. I would like you to see, make it that a little bit more, but you know, let's say that's your current situation. Now, if you increase your price by a mere 1%, which I believe that most of you would reckon that we can get away with changing your price increasing them by 1%. I would say like 95% of most businesses I can think of, they can probably get that, you know, without any real trouble happening. And what I mean by troubling, I mean attrition. I mean, sometimes we raise the price and we might fear, and that's probably the typical fear that we have, that people will go for something else. They'll go to our competitors, we'll lose the customer, we'll lose the sales. But I believe that by far the greater majority of all companies and businesses can easily get away with raising 1%. Now, for a $100 million sales a year company, that spells into, you know, a nice $1 million extra. So now you have $101 million in sales. There are no changes in your cost of making it all happen. You used to have $5 million in net profit, and now you have the $5 million plus the $1 million that you increased with, so you have a $6 million net profit. Now that's an increase from 5 to 6, so an increase of the $1 million. That's a net increase in your profits of 20%, a 20% increase in your net profits by a mere increase of 1% in your prices. Now you may say, well, okay, I don't have a $100 million business, and by far most of the clients that I serve, they are not quite at that ballpark area. Most of them are in a much smaller region. But let's say you're a $10 million dollar company. Well, it's still the same numbers. It's still a 20% increase. It's, you know, you're increasing by $100,000 in that case, and you're increasing your net bottom by $100,000. You had now, instead of 5 million, you had 500,000. You're increasing it now by 100,000, and now you have 600,000. Still net 20% increase in your net profits. It's the easiest, like I keep saying, it's the easiest because all it takes is a decision and an implementation, pretty much. You may have to, you know, inform your customers and clients and so on about the price change and so on. But for the most part, a lot of it is part of our natural, you know, adjustment for the year or something, that we are increasing prices. It is the fastest also because, hey, you just implemented and it takes effect from the very first sale thereafter. And it takes effect of pretty much all the sales thereafter. So let's assume you make the increase and it goes for everybody. Now, granted, when I did my increases in limousine service and so on, there might be certain negotiations that I would have to enter, and some got a better deal than others, and typically because it was warranted, typically because it came with a bigger volume and so on and so on. But then, and we'll talk about that subsequently, we'll talk about, well, this is just 1% we're talking about right now. So for my case with the limousine service, well, I increased it a lot more than a 1%. We'll talk about that, like I said, in future episode. It is the most effective because, like I said, you increase that, you didn't have more cost and so on. So it really pretty much trickles down all the way to the net bottom line. I hope this served you well, and I hope that it might spur you on to really look at your pricing. You may be looking at, you know, well, when did you last have a price increase, and could you maybe make a price increase now? A lot of companies, a lot of business owners and so on, they think, well, you know, I cannot do it until next year. I can't do it until, you know, January 1st, or I cannot do it until April 1st, or whatever the case may be. You may be bound by some current contracts and you cannot change the price until the contract renews and so on, or whatever the case be. But for the most part, the general majority of businesses that I meet, they can pretty much do when they want to. Now, we're going to talk about later on, okay, is it feasible? Can we do it? And so on. But for the majority of all companies that I meet, they can absolutely do it. In fact, most of them haven't touched a price list in years, which makes it even more so that you can do it. We will talk about, in future episode, we'll talk about, well, how do we implement it and how do we get away with it so that our clients and customers don't get all upset with us. But for now, like I said, I hope that this will at least make you realize that, you know what, you can run like crazy to do more sales, and I still kind of think that we should do that on top of everything else. But the easiest, fastest, and most efficient way is simply just adjusting your prices. And most business owners are fearful of it. And I would say, you know what, I respect that. I'm not doing it lightly. I always do it with some concern about, okay, what would it mean? Maybe you can do, you know, a little test where we say a group of people change in and see what kind of feedback we get and so on. And invariably, you'll find that it's very little reaction of a negative side that really comes from it, depending on your situation. But for, again, just to reiterate and underline this fact, for the most part of all companies that I've met, they can easily do it and easily get away with it, and their business changes overnight, especially if you're struggling. Now, the less net profits you have now, the more your profits go up, your net profits go up by a change even of 1%. Of course, we'll be talking about in future episodes that I probably won't suggest that you just change it by 1%. It depends a little bit about what you're selling. But like I said, this episode here is the first in the series of all these talks that we're going to have about pricing and about price setting and about customers and about how we're going to do the sales of those and so on. And also about how we're discounting and negotiating and so on. So we'll have a lot more episodes. And so in the light of your time here, I want to be respectful. We're going to wrap this up. I hope that until tomorrow, when we're going to continue the episodes, you will think hard and clear about, okay, what's your current prices now, and what do should you possibly contemplate of increasing it by, and by when, and how would you go about doing it? I also want you to think about, like, when was the last price increase that you did? And I want you to pull out your profit and loss statement so you can have a good idea about, well, what is it now? What is your current level of sales? And then what would it mean if you increased it by X amount of percentage in your pricing? We'll talk more about these topics tomorrow, and I hope that you'll come back. Again, I think this particular episode is the first in all our current 43, 44 episodes here of the Automated Millionaire video / podcast. That is probably the one that you can take straight away and implement and get real cash results. It's if you're not doing this, it better be because you just did it. It better be because you have just made a somewhat substantial price increase, and you know, maybe that's not the time to do another one now. Okay? So that's pretty much the only one. And there might be a few industries where I would say, okay, there you cannot make a price change, but there are other things, and we'll talk about that in the futures. Please, by all means, share this episode with anybody who is a business owner, because I know a lot of business owners. In fact, most of the ones I meet, they go wrong when it comes to the price setting and price structuring and all of that, and it has the biggest impact probably of your business. So at the end of the day, this is an important topic, and I wish for you to share it with as many people as possible so we can help as many business owners as possible and create better businesses, because the ripple effects are so grand. This was Mikael Pitzner signing off. I hope I see you in tomorrow's episode, where we will continue this discussion on pricing and price structures. Thank you.